This is Cross Currents. I'm Henat Baba. There are hidden costs attached to almost everything we buy. T-shirts, mortgages, and yes, hamburgers. In his book, The Value of Nothing, How to Reshape Market Society and Redefine Democracy, Raj Patel argues that even a hamburger may have hidden ecological and social costs of as much as $200. In his book, Patel also shows concern that global food aid organizations sometimes do more harm than good. So I sat down with Raj Patel and asked, with so much hunger worldwide, does he think international food aid is working?
It would be a mistake to say that these international organizations aren't working. Mm-hmm. They are working. It's just that what they're doing is bad. The organizations, for example, like the World Bank or the International Monetary Fund or these large international policy-making institutions, they're pushing a model where what we need to do is have global markets in food, and that somehow will bring the price down, and that will connect poor people around the world to a global market on which they can sell their food and buy their food. And when when the market distributes food, you introduce two very simple rules. The first rule is if you have money, you get to eat, no matter if that food comes from halfway around the world, no matter if that food has huge environmental impacts. If you can afford it, you get to eat it. The second rule, though, is that if you have no money, you starve. And that's why we've seen a number of contradictory things. We've seen the price of food falling, and yet the number of people who are going hungry is going up. The trouble is that global market is also a mechanism for transmitting these huge shocks that we've had over the past couple of years.
So if these big institutions aren't working, should it just be localized to, I donate to my local food bank, and these canned vegetables go to that family?
I think localizing control over the food system is a very good idea. And in fact, that's not my idea. That is the outcome of a study called Agriculture at the Crossroads. And this was 400 of the world's top scientists. And they asked the question, look, in 2050, when there are 9 billion people on Earth, how are we going to feed the world? And the answer they came up with was very interesting. The answer they came up with was, we're going to need to reorient our agriculture to make it, firstly, more local, as you were saying, but also to change the way in which we grow. So, farms that are near cities. Mm-hmm. I mean, for here, us in the Bay Area, that's easy enough. Mm. And so it is through local initiatives that we will be able to feed the hungry. But it's not necessarily through food banks. I mean, think about what a food bank is. A food bank is an amazing institution filled with very committed people who are there to take the edge off hunger for the poor. A food bank is not in the business of eradicating poverty. And if, as we say, the reason people go hungry is because of poverty, then we really need to tackle the root causes. Advocacy for jobs in the community, for example, social services in the community, responsive government in the community, so that people never get so poor, that they have to rely on food banks. And I think those kinds of local initiatives are what we need to be aiming towards.
That's interesting because there are these endless charities here in the U.S. and California where you donate money to be sent to a hungry community somewhere else in the world. Why doesn't aid solve the problem for the same reason you just mentioned?
Well, I mean, food aid, it's something we should do, but we should do properly. The way that the US food aid system, and for a long time the European food aid system worked, was to use food aid as a way of getting rid of the surplus that was being grown in this country or in Europe. In other words, it was a way of getting rid of stuff that was surplus to requirements in a way that was inescapably political. Again, this isn't a conspiracy theory on my part. You can find it openly admitted in USAID documents or even by the US Secretary of Agriculture, Earl Butz, who admitted that food is a weapon in the US arsenal. And so food aid was a way of dumping food in foreign countries. But when you do that, think of it from the perspective of a farmer in a developing country. The farmer, there's hard times, there's a food shortage. The farmer is struggling to be able to sell their food on the open market because people are so poor. I mean, people want food, don't get me wrong, there's a food shortage, but because people are poor, there's not necessarily the purchasing power to keep this farmer producing food. The farmer's trying as hard as she can. And then the food comes in from the United States or from Europe, and it's being loaded off the boat and it's been given away for free. What does that do to the farmer? Of course, it wipes them out. No farmer can compete with free. And so, you know, the process of food aid actually ends up decimating local agricultural capacity.
So what do? You stop the food aid? People go hungry?
Funnily enough, you do what foodies in the United States have been encouraging us to do for a long time. You buy local. You buy food aid from within the region. Pretty much every country except the United States has now agreed that this aid where you ship it around the world on a U.S. boat, that's a bad idea. We need to take our citizenship seriously. It's not something that you can merely sort of give a couple of dollars and forget that you're a citizen. I think we need to decommodify citizenship.
In your book, The Value of Nothing, you talk about the true price of food. Mm. That just fascinated me. You say that something that is seemingly cheap, like a burger, is actually much more expensive in reality. Can you explain that?
Yes. I mean, there was a study done about the true cost of a hamburger. And the analysts sort of took a $4 hamburger and said, look, if this hamburger was grown on rainforest that was clear cut and turned into pasture, then the services that rainforest was providing in terms of biodiversity, in terms of water, in terms of carbon sequestration, all those services have a dollar value. And if you add up that that number, the average hamburger shouldn't cost $4, it should cost $200. One in five U.S. healthcare dollars is spent looking after someone who has diabetes. One in five healthcare dollars, $174 billion a year, spent on taking care of someone who has this illness that's in many ways diet-related. Those costs never figure into the cost of our food. It's not that we don't pay those costs. It's just that they're not there in the price. And I think that's why in The Value of Nothing, I talk about how cheap food is actually cheat food. The cheat is that, you know, we're not given the real cost of that food, but other people get to profit from it while we have to shoulder the cost.